Page 1. Stroke. Patient Education Booklet. There is a digital illustration showing a side profile view of a translucent human head and neck. The brain is visible inside the skull and is highlighted with glowing red and orange spots scattered across its surface, suggesting areas of activity or damage consistent with a stroke. The Centralis Health logo can be found. Below, the Arnott Health logo appears on the left and the Cayuga Health logo appears on the right. Page 2. Introduction. This guide was created for adults who have had a stroke or the warning signs of a stroke. We hope this guide will be helpful during your recovery period and your journey to healing. Every stroke is different. Even two people with similar strokes may be affected in different ways. No one is able to predict how long it's going to take through the healing process or how much the survivor will recover. According to the National Stroke Association, stroke is the number one cause of adult disability in the U.S. You are not alone. The most important things to remember about a stroke are how to recognize the symptoms and to seek medical help quickly, how to reduce your risk factors for stroke to prevent another stroke, how to manage your recovery and adapt to any disability after a stroke. Be informed. Know the facts and be aware of best practices for stroke and how you can be involved in your care and recovery. Be part of the process. Ask questions and get answers. Do what needs to be done to get better. Practice your exercises. Take your medication. Make lifestyle changes. Page 3. Table of Contents. Section 1, Understanding Stroke. Understanding the Brain, page 4. Signs and Symptoms of Stroke, page 4. BFAST acronym for identifying a stroke, page 6. The Importance of Calling 911, page 6. What is a stroke, page 7. Types of Strokes, page 7. How can a stroke affect my body, page 9. Know the Risk Factors for Stroke, page 13. My Personal Risk Factors for Stroke, page 16. Section 2, Stroke Care in the Hospital. Initial Stroke Care, page 20. Emergency Treatment of Strokes, page 20. General Stroke Care, page 21. Medications, page 21. Preventing Complications, page 22. Section 3, Rehabilitation and Recovery. Your Healthcare Team, page 26. How Your Brain Recovers from a Stroke, page 27. Rehabilitation and Recovery, page 27. Section 4, Discharge Planning. Life After Stroke, page 30. Tips for Caregivers, page 31. Section 5, Other Stroke Resources. Resources for Information on Stroke, page 32. Notes, page 33. The information provided in this booklet is for educational use only. This information is not intended to replace the medical advice of your doctor or healthcare provider. Please consult your healthcare provider for advice about specific medical condition. Page 4. Section 1. Understanding Stroke. Understanding the Brain. Brain cells. The brain is full of specialized cells called neurons. These neurons make the brain work. To work properly, they need to be fed by a constant supply of blood. Blood vessels of the brain, arteries and veins, are types of blood vessels in your body. Arteries carry blood, rich in oxygen and nutrients, to your organs. Veins carry waste products away from your organs. Cerebral arteries are the arteries of the brain. Normal brain function needs a constant supply of oxygen and nutrients. When a stroke happens, the blood flow is disrupted. Some brain cells do not get the oxygen and nutrients they need. When the cell dies, that area of the brain cannot function as it did before. Hemispheres. The brain is divided into two parts called hemispheres, the right and the left. Although equal in size, they are not the same and do not carry out the same functions. The left side of the brain is responsible for controlling the right side of the body. It also performs tasks having to do with logic, such as science and math. The right side of the brain coordinates the left side of the body and performs tasks that have to do with creativity and the arts. There is a diagram of the human brain viewed from above, divided into two halves. The left half is labeled left brain functions and lists the following: right side of body control, number skills, math and scientific skills, written language, spoken language, objectivity, analytical, logic, and reasoning. The right half is labeled right brain functions and lists the following: left side of body control, 3D shapes, music and art awareness, intuition, creativity, imagination, subjectivity, synthesizing, emotion, and face recognition. Page 5. Signs and symptoms of a stroke. There is a yellow rectangular box with bold red text that reads, "Call 911. Sudden weakness or numbness that occurs in the face, arm or leg, particularly on one side of the body. Sudden difficulty seeing in one or both eyes. Sudden confusion, difficulty speaking or difficulty understanding. May have slurred speech or confused speech. Sudden problems with dizziness. A loss of balance or coordination. Sudden, severe headache, the cause of which is unknown. Difficulty swallowing." Page 6. BFAST, acronym to help identify stroke symptoms. There is a red and white informational graphic. At the top, a red banner reads, "When it comes to stroke, BFAST, call 911. Any one of these sudden signs could mean a stroke. Below the banner, six circular icons are listed vertically, each paired with a letter, a word, and a short description. The first icon shows a head with a spiral symbol, representing balance, loss of balance, dizziness. The second icon shows an eye with a line through it, representing eyes, vision changes. The third icon shows a face with one drooping side, representing face, facial drooping, severe headache. The fourth icon shows a raised hand, representing arms, weakness, numbness. The fifth icon shows a speech bubble with a question mark, representing speech, trouble speaking, confusion. The sixth icon shows an alarm clock, representing time to call 911. A stroke is a medical emergency. In the event of a stroke, time equals brain cell death. Stroke is a 911 emergency, yet most people do not take action with symptoms of stroke. Remember, stroke is a brain attack. You need to call 911 for a brain attack, just like you would for a heart attack. Write down what time the symptoms started. The importance of calling 911. Emergency Medical Services, EMS, brings life-saving equipment to you. You may think you can get the patient to the hospital quickly, but you can't perform life-saving measures while driving a car. Also, EMS can notify the emergency department that they have a stroke alert, which puts actions in place to speed up delivery of care once you arrive at the hospital. Page 7. What is a stroke? A stroke occurs when an artery that supplies blood to the brain is blocked. This interruption causes damage to the brain cells which cannot be repaired or replaced. The effects of your stroke depend on the part of the brain that was damaged, and the amount of damage done. Brain damage can begin within minutes, so it is important to know the signs and act fast. Quick treatment can help limit the damage to the brain and improve the chance of recovery. Time lost is brain lost. Other causes, in rare cases, a tumor, an infection, or brain swelling due to an injury or illness can cause a stroke. Some people have irregularities in their arteries at birth that can cause a stroke later in life. Types of strokes: transient ischemic attack, TIA. A transient ischemic attack, TIA, is caused by a small clot that briefly blocks an artery. It is sometimes called a mini-stroke or warning stroke. TIA symptoms may last only a few minutes or hours. No lasting damage occurs, but TIAs are an important warning that a more serious stroke may occur soon. Ischemic stroke. Ischemic strokes are caused by an obstruction within a blood vessel that supplies blood to your brain. The blockage can be caused by the formation of fatty deposits lining the vessel walls. This is called atherosclerosis. These fatty deposits can cause two types of obstruction: cerebral thrombosis, a blood clot that develops at the clogged part of the vessel. Cerebral embolus, a blood clot that forms at another location in the blood system, usually in the heart and large arteries of the upper chest and neck. A portion of the blood clot breaks loose, enters the bloodstream and travels through the brain's blood vessels until it reaches the vessels too small to let it pass. A second cause of an embolism is an irregular heartbeat, known as atrial fibrillation. It creates conditions where clots can form in the heart, dislodge and travel to the brain. Hemorrhagic stroke. Hemorrhagic stroke is caused when a weakened artery in the brain breaks open. The most common cause of hemorrhagic stroke is uncontrolled high blood pressure. There are two types of weakened blood vessels that also can cause hemorrhagic stroke. These are aneurysms and arteriovenous malformations, AVMs. Page 8. Aneurysms. An aneurysm is a weak area in a blood vessel that usually enlarges like a balloon, which is caused by constant pressure from blood flow. They often enlarge slowly and become weaker as they grow. Arteriovenous malformations, or AVMs. Normally, arteries carry blood containing oxygen from the heart to the brain, and veins carry blood with less oxygen away from the brain and back to the heart. When an AVM occurs, a tangle of blood vessels in the brain or on its surface bypasses normal brain tissue and directly diverts blood from the arteries to the veins. Types of human brain stroke. There are three side-by-side medical illustrations showing cross-sections of blood vessels, each depicting a different type of human brain stroke. The first illustration, labeled hemorrhagic, shows a blood vessel with a burst or rupture, with blood spilling out from the vessel wall. The second illustration, labeled ischemic, shows a blood vessel with a dark blockage or clot lodged inside, obstructing blood flow. The third illustration, labeled atherosclerosis, shows a blood vessel with a yellow and irregular plaque buildup along the inner wall, narrowing the passage for blood flow. Page 9. How can a stroke affect my body? The effects of stroke are different for each person. They can be mild, moderate, or severe. The severity depends on factors such as the type of stroke, ischemic or hemorrhagic. The side of the brain where the stroke occurred, right or left. The lobes of the brain affected by the stroke. The size of the damaged area. The body functions controlled by that part of the brain. The amount of time the brain had no blood flow. The time it took to get to the hospital. Changes to your body after a stroke. The location of the stroke in your brain determines what body function will be affected. Here are some things that may change. Communication. This can include problems with talking and understanding what people say. Writing and understanding written words. Being able to name things or find the right words. Slurring speech. Sight. This may mean seeing less on one side or the other. Seeing less in one eye or both eyes or double vision. Not being able to see how far away things are. Not being able to tell whether things are above or below, in front or behind other things. Ability to move. This may include weakness, loss of feeling or difficulty with moving parts of the body, including the mouth, arms, or legs. Swallowing and eating. Controlling the bladder and bowels. Knowing parts of your own body and where they are. Coordinating movements and keeping your balance. Feelings and depression. Many people who have had a stroke feel sad, helpless, and frustrated at times. Recovering from a stroke is a big challenge. It is important to watch for signs of depression and get help. Page 10. Stroke patient education. Behavior. People may sometimes act differently than before their stroke. They may talk more than usual. Seem more nervous or cautious. Cry or laugh for no reason. Judgment or thinking. Problems some people face include acting differently than usual or act without thinking. Being moody. Not caring about things. Having trouble understanding time. Having difficulty with math. Having trouble organizing things or understanding how things work. Emotional and behavioral changes after stroke. A stroke can cause many changes in a person's emotions and behavior. Suddenly, he or she can seem like a completely different person than before the stroke. In a way, this is true. Stroke survivors' brains have been injured. The behaviors and emotions they display are a reflection of that injury. The loss of a person's former identity can result in depression, anger, and frustration. Patients can experience a sense of loss and grief for the changes they have gone through. Understanding and dealing with these changes and losses are just as important as the physical issues that are dealt with in the rehabilitation process. Communication disorders. Stroke survivors may have difficulty with their communication skills following a stroke. They can be broadly classified in two general categories. 1. Aphasia, the loss of ability to communicate normally resulting from damage typically to the left side of the brain, which houses the communication center. It may affect a person's verbal expression, getting words out, and/or auditory comprehension, understanding what is being said to them. It may also affect their ability to read, write, and deal with numbers. Additional information regarding aphasia can be obtained from a speech-language pathologist or from the following websites: American Speech Language Hearing Association, ASHA, www.asha.org. American Stroke Association, www.strokeassociation.org. 2. Motor speech disorders. Some stroke survivors may have slurred or garbled speech as a result of muscle weakness or incoordination, called dysarthria. A speech-language pathologist will be asked to assess the patient's communication skills and discuss with the family ways to improve communication with the stroke survivor. Page 11. There is an image of sunlit forest path stretching into the distance, with tall trees on either side and light filtering through the canopy, evoking a sense of hope and forward movement. On the sides of the image, there are two quotes. Don't hide away thinking that you can't do anything. Get out there and find something you can do, and enjoy it. There is light at the end of the tunnel. Take one day at a time and every day try to reach a goal, however small. Dysphagia. Dysphagia is simply defined as a swallowing disorder. It can occur in any of the three phases of swallowing. 1. Oral. 2. Pharyngeal. 3. Esophageal. There is a medical diagram titled Swallowing, showing three side-by-side cross-sectional illustrations of a human head and neck. The illustrations depict the three stages of swallowing. In the first illustration, labeled structures include the tongue, pharynx, windpipe, trachea, food, and esophagus. In the second illustration, the larynx is shown closing as food moves toward the esophagus. In the third illustration, the soft palate, vertebrae, and epiglottis are labeled, showing the final stage of the swallow as food passes into the esophagus. Dysphagia is often noted in stroke survivors. The patient may cough or choke while attempting to swallow saliva, liquids, or food. Sometimes, silent aspiration may occur. This is where saliva, food, and liquids enter into the lungs without any coughing or choking. A speech-language pathologist often evaluates a patient's ability to swallow safely, without food or liquid going into his or her airway/lungs and potentially causing bronchitis or pneumonia. Page 12. Depression. It is common for stroke survivors to experience feelings of anger, frustration, anxiety, sadness, fear, and hopelessness in varying degrees. These emotions are common with post-stroke depression. Your emotional health is just as important as your physical health and can promote or disrupt post-stroke recovery. Depression can set in weeks, months, or even years after your stroke and can impact your quality of life. Symptoms of depression. Persistent sad, anxious, or empty feelings. Sleep disturbances. Increase or decrease in appetite and eating patterns. feelings of helplessness, hopelessness, and/or worthlessness. Social withdrawal. Loss of interest in activities or hobbies. Irritability. Fatigue. Difficulty concentrating or remembering details. Suicidal thoughts. Common treatments include medication. Medications known as antidepressants are common treatments for post-stroke depression and may be prescribed by your healthcare provider. Antidepressant medications interact with chemicals in the brain called neurotransmitters to improve mood. Mental health therapy. Medication is often combined with mental health therapy provided by a psychologist, psychiatrist, social worker, or counselor. Treatment alone is not always enough to fight depression. A variety of practical management strategies can help you fight depression and other difficult emotions. Communicate. Talk about how you are feeling. Improve nutrition. Foods rich in omega-3 fatty acids, folic acid, vitamin B, and complex carbohydrates can improve mood and fight depression. Set realistic goals and prioritize. Be patient with yourself and loved ones. Stay as active as possible. Minimize or eliminate alcohol consumption and smoking. Refer to other resources at the end of this guide. Let your healthcare provider know if you think you may be suffering from depression. Page 13. Know the risk factors for stroke. What is a risk factor? A risk factor is anything that increases your chance of an illness, accident, or other negative event. Risk factors may include medical history, genetic makeup, personal habits, lifestyle, aspects of the environment, stroke and risk factors. There are a number of risk factors that increase the chances of having a stroke. Some risk factors cannot be reversed or changed. They are uncontrollable. But, you can do something about most of the risk factors for stroke. They are controllable. Risk factors you cannot change, uncontrollable. You cannot reverse the following risk factors for stroke. You should be aware of how these risk factors apply to you. Age. For every 10 years you live, your risk of stroke increases. Gender. Men have 2 times more risk for stroke than women have, but more women die of stroke than breast cancer. Race. African Americans have 2 times more risk of stroke than other races. Hispanics and Asians have the greatest risk for stroke from burst blood vessels. This type of stroke is called hemorrhagic. Past stroke or TIA. If you've already had a stroke or mini stroke, TIA, your risk for having another stroke is greater. Family history, your risk for stroke is greater when heart attack, stroke, or TIA runs in your family. Risk factors you can control, modifiable. Smoking. Smoking is a major risk for stroke. Smoking causes your blood to clot easier. Smoking increases the buildup of cholesterol plaque in your arteries. Every time you smoke, your arteries narrow, and your blood pressure increases as a result of the nicotine. Resource, American Lung Association. lung.org/quit-smoking. Page 14. High blood pressure. The number one risk factor for stroke is high blood pressure, hypertension. When you control your blood pressure, you can greatly reduce your risk of stroke. Talk to your doctor to learn what your blood pressure should be. Starting at age 55, you should get your blood pressure checked twice a year, unless your doctor advises more frequent checks. This helps you keep your blood pressure in the range set by your doctor. Know your numbers. In general, the top number, systolic, should be less than 120, and the bottom number, diastolic, should be less than 80. High cholesterol. An unhealthy cholesterol balance can lead to fat deposits in the arteries, causing a blockage. These deposits are called plaque. Follow your doctor's guidelines for regular cholesterol testing. Optimal total cholesterol is less than 200. LDL-C at or below 100. HDL, good good cholesterol, ideally above 39.9. Triglycerides are a type of fat that circulates in the bloodstream. Level should be 150 or below. To reach your goal, you may need diet modification, exercise, and medication. Carotid artery disease. The carotid arteries are the two main arteries that carry blood to your brain and neck. When plaque buildup narrows these arteries, carotid disease results. Medicine or surgery to clean out the plaque in the carotid arteries can reduce the risk for stroke. Atrial fibrillation. Atrial fibrillation is a type of irregular heartbeat. It is called a fib for short. A fib is a common cause of stroke. This irregular heartbeat can form clots in the heart due to sluggish blood flow. If the blood clots release, they can go to the brain and cause a stroke. As with high blood pressure, you may have a fib and not know it. If you suspect your heartbeat is irregular, follow up with your doctor. When you have a fib, the goal of treatment is to restore a regular heartbeat. When this is impossible, blood thinners may be prescribed. Diabetes. There is an image of a heart-shaped bowl filled with a variety of fresh fruits and vegetables, including broccoli, tomatoes, oranges, and apples. Next to the bowl, there is a stethoscope and a blood glucose monitor with a test strip, placed on top of what appears to be a medical chart or document. Diabetes greatly increases your risk for an ischemic stroke. Some types of diabetes prevent the body from using its insulin to break down blood sugar. This is called insulin resistance. This can lower the levels of good cholesterol, HDL, which can cause blood clots to form. Diabetes also causes plaque to build up in the arteries at a faster rate. People with diabetes also tend to gain weight. Obesity can lead to high blood pressure and high cholesterol, which are both risk factors for stroke. When blood glucose levels are high, damage from a stroke can be even worse. It is important to monitor and control blood sugar, glucose, levels, follow your diet plan and exercise. Page 15. Obesity. Excess weight increases your risk of stroke. People who have a stroke or heart disease often have excess body fat around their lower belly or abdomen. This is sometimes called the apple shape. Weight control and exercise improve your circulation and help reduce other risk factors. There is an image of two people walking together on a paved outdoor path surrounded by trees and greenery near a body of water. Lack of physical activity. Exercise is important to help control weight, blood pressure, cholesterol, stress, and diabetes, all risk factors for stroke. Alcohol, coffee, and drug use. Heavy alcohol use increases risk for a stroke. Drinking 3 or more cups of coffee a day may increase risk of stroke in older men with high blood pressure. Use of street drugs, especially cocaine and amphetamines, is a major stroke risk. Using steroids for bodybuilding increase risk for stroke. Poor nutrition. There is an image of a wicker basket filled with a colorful variety of fresh fruits and vegetables, including grapes, apples, tomatoes, peppers, and leafy greens. A diet high in fat, sugar, and salt puts you at risk for a stroke. Studies show that eating 5 servings of fruit and vegetables a day will reduce your risk of stroke by 30%. Stress. There is an image of a silhouette of a person standing in a yoga tree pose with arms raised overhead, set against a warm golden sunset over a body of water. Studies show a link between mental stress and narrowing of the carotid arteries. Learning and practicing ways to reduce stress may help reduce your stroke risk. Estrogen. Birth control pills and hormone replacement therapy, HRT, contain estrogen. The hormone estrogen may change the blood's clotting ability. Blood clots may form, which can cause a stroke. Page 16. My personal risk factors for stroke. Today's date. Blank space. The risk factors checked below are stroke risk factors that apply to you. Post this sheet in a place that you will see every day to remind you of your daily lifestyle choices and strategies you can use to reduce stroke risk factors. High blood pressure, take your blood pressure medication as prescribed. Avoid using salt when cooking and seasoning food. Limit salt to 1 teaspoon a day. Monitor your blood pressure at home. Refrain from buying prepackaged foods. Smoking, decide to quit. Enlist a family member or friend's support. Discuss with your doctor resources that can help you. Heart disease or carotid disease, increase your intake of fresh fruits and vegetables. Eat more fiber. Select lean meats such as chicken or fish. Diabetes, good control of diabetes can reduce your risk for stroke. For good control, it's important to monitor and control blood glucose levels, follow your diet plan and exercise. High cholesterol, read food labels. Reduce trans fatty acid or saturated fats to less than 10% of your daily calories. Replace fried foods with baked/boiled foods. Alcohol and drug use, limit your alcohol intake to no more than 2 drinks per day if you are male and 1 drink per day if you are female. Excessive alcohol can raise blood pressure. Use of street drugs, especially cocaine and methamphetamines, is a major stroke risk. Being overweight, increase your activity. Take the steps instead of the elevator if you're able. Take walks and try to get 30 minutes of physical activity per day. Drink 8 8-ounce glasses of water per day. Try to lose 1 pound per week. Stress, learn and practice ways to reduce stress to help reduce your stroke risk. Estrogen, birth control pills and hormone replacement therapy, HRT, contain estrogen. The hormone estrogen may change the blood's clotting ability. Blood clots may then form, which can cause a stroke. Atrial fibrillation, irregular heartbeat. Take your medications as prescribed by your doctor. Monitor your heartbeat. Bring this sheet with you when you visit the doctor and discuss your progress in reducing risk factors. Nurse signature. Blank space. Page 17. My risk factor numbers. There is a table below. The titles are risk factor, ideal, my results. The My Results cells are left blank to be completed. Blood pressure. Ideal, less than or equal to 120/80. Total cholesterol. Ideal, less than 200. Good cholesterol, HDL. Ideal, greater than 39.9. Bad cholesterol, LDL. Ideal, less than 100. Triglyceride. Ideal, less than or equal to 150. Notes. There are blank lines. Page 18. Notes. There are blank lines. Page 19. Section 2. Stroke care in the hospital. Initial stroke care. Emergency treatment of stroke. General stroke care. Common diagnostic tests. Medications. Preventing complications. There is an image of 2 female healthcare providers smiling and interacting warmly with an older male patient who is lying in a hospital bed. One of the providers is shaking the patient's hand. Page 20. Initial stroke care. The emergency department. You most likely arrived at the hospital through the emergency department. Stroke is an emergency and the healthcare professionals act with a sense of urgency to evaluate the condition of patients with stroke to determine the proper course of treatment. Time equals brain, in the sudden onset of a stroke. The activity may seem chaotic, but there is a purpose for every action. Blood tests, heart monitoring, X-rays, and a CT exam will happen very quickly. The key question for the patient and family will be the time of last known normal, or well. This is very important and will help your healthcare team to determine the type of stroke treatment that will be best for the patient. Because of the effects of a stroke, the patient's swallowing may be affected. No food, water, or medications can be given by mouth until after it has been determined that the patient is not at risk for choking. Do not eat or drink anything until a nurse verifies that it is safe. At Centralis Health, we utilize telemedicine to communicate with neurologists who help determine the course of treatment in acute stroke. We may roll a camera card into your room so that the neurologist can speak to you directly. There is an image of a large white CT scanner machine in a clinical room. A CT scan is one of the most important tests performed in the ED for acute stroke. CT stands for computerized axial tomography. This will help us detect which kind of stroke the patient has had so that the best treatment plan can be administered. More testing may be done over the next few days to learn the extent and effects of the stroke. Emergency treatment of strokes. The most common type of stroke is an ischemic stroke. When the CT scan shows no sign of bleeding in the brain, many patients with ischemic stroke can safely receive drug therapy. A drug that dissolves blood clots that caused the stroke can be given in the patient's form. The clot-busting therapy must begin within 3 hours after the start of the stroke symptoms. That is why it is so important to get to the hospital immediately after the symptoms start. The name of the clot-busting medication is tenecteplase. Tenecteplase helps restore blood flow to the damaged area of the brain. For many patients, tenecteplase can stop or lessen brain damage from the stroke. There is some risk for bleeding with tenecteplase. A patient receiving tenecteplase must be monitored in the intensive care unit. Page 21. Another treatment option for ischemic stroke patients is called mechanical thrombectomy. It is a treatment for strokes that removes blood clots that are blocking large blood vessels in the brain. Some patients may be candidates for this procedure. It is performed in an angiography suite using a device that grabs clots and removes them to re-establish blood flow to the brain. If the stroke patient is a candidate for this procedure, they will need to be transferred to a comprehensive stroke center in Rochester. To determine if the patient has a large vessel occlusion, a test called CT angiogram is done. General stroke care. If the patient has received clot-busting medication or receiving a specialty medication for high blood pressure or abnormal heart rhythms, the patient will receive inpatient care in the intensive care unit so that the patient can be monitored closely. If the patient is in stable condition, they will be admitted to our specialty stroke unit where the nursing staff is skilled at caring for stroke patients. The nursing staff will perform frequent checks, monitoring vital signs and neurological checks. During your hospital stay, the doctor may prescribe additional testing that may help us determine what the cause of the stroke was and how to prevent another one. Medications. Your doctor may prescribe different medications for you after your stroke to help manage your risk factors. Anticoagulant medications. Anticoagulants help keep blood clots from forming. These drugs are sometimes called blood thinners. There is some risk of bleeding when you take anticoagulants, so you will be monitored closely. Antiplatelet medications. Platelets are the blood cells that are sticky and help the blood to clot. Antiplatelet medications keep the platelets from sticking together. This will help to prevent blood clots that could cause a stroke. These drugs may be given to someone who has had a stroke or a mini stroke, TIA. High blood pressure medication. This medication will lower your blood pressure. You may be on more than one medication to lower your blood pressure. Keeping your blood pressure normal is important in helping prevent a future stroke. Cholesterol-lowering medications. Since most strokes are caused by a buildup of fat, cholesterol, and other substances called plaque in the inner walls of your arteries, these medicines are used to help reduce further buildup. There is a close-up photograph of various pills and capsules of different sizes, shapes, and colors scattered on a surface. The pills are arranged to spell out the word recovery. Page 22. Preventing complications. Your stroke may have left you with physical changes that could put you at risk for complications. Your CAR team's highest priority will be to prevent these complications. Swallowing, your ability to swallow and eat will be evaluated. Nearly half of stroke patients will have some level of difficulty swallowing, which could lead to pneumonia, malnutrition, and poor outcomes if undetected. Your nurse will test your ability to swallow by completing a swallowing screen. If you aren't able to pass this screen, further testing and therapy will be ordered to evaluate your swallowing. Depending on your ability to swallow and chew, your diet may be changed. The dietitian will work with you and the healthcare team to ensure you receive proper nutrition that you can eat safely, limiting your choking risks. Bowel and bladder control. The team will want to identify any problems with bowel and bladder control early so that interventions can be implemented. Blood clots. If you are unable to move around in bed, the team will be working to prevent clots, deep vein thrombosis DVT, from forming in your legs. They may use medications and/or sequential compression devices, which are placed on your lower legs and blow up intermittently to assist in blood flow. Pressure injuries, bed sores, you may have a difficult time moving without help. In order to prevent any skin issues, the healthcare team may place protective boots on your feet and frequently turn you to keep pressure off bony body areas. As soon as you are able, the team will work with you to get you standing, sitting, and walking safely. Falls, weakness, and balance problems may put you at risk of falling. The team will assess your risk. They will work with you to make sure you understand the risk and how to prevent falls. If the team gives you a mobility device, like a walker, it is important to use it. While you are in the hospital, the team will place a yellow fall bracelet on you and give you non-skid socks to wear. You will always need to call for help if you need to get out of bed. Tips to keep you safe from a fall. Keep your personal items and things you use often within reach, tissues, water, remote control, call light. With the nurse present, practice using the call button before you really need it. Keep it within reach and don't be afraid to use it. The team will round on you frequently, but do not get up by yourself. Know how to turn the light on and off from your bed. Also, know how to use the bed control. Get help to move around. Do not get up by yourself. Sit up slowly with help. You may have increased dizziness. Don't try to move four poles on your own. The staff may use a gait belt to keep you safe as you move around. This fits snugly around your waist. It allows another person to support you as you walk together. Page 23. A note to family and friends. When someone is ill in the hospital, falling is more likely to occur. You can help your loved one reduce the risk. Learn about the guidelines that the staff has in place to prevent falls and follow them. When you are directing your loved one, keep it simple, one step at a time. If you have any questions, please reach out to a member of the healthcare team. Page 24. Blank page. Page 25. Section 3. Rehabilitation and recovery. Your healthcare team. Palliative care. How your brain recovers from stroke. Rehabilitation and recovery. There is an image of a hand holding a blue marker, writing the word recovery in large blue letters. Page 26. Your healthcare team. Neurologist, a doctor who specializes in evaluating and treating a variety of brain and nervous system diseases. Hospitalist or intensivist, a doctor who specializes in managing the care of hospitalized patients and/or critically ill patients. Nurse, works closely with you, your family, and healthcare team during the initial stages following a stroke. Your nursing team may consist of a registered nurse and a licensed practical nurse. Clinical assistant, important members of the nursing team who may help you with bathing, dressing, and toileting. Occupational therapist, occupational therapists will work with you to improve your independence with daily living. They will help you regain function and control of your upper body. They will help you relearn skills such as personal grooming, preparing for meals, and house cleaning. Occupational therapists also help you and your family by recommending changes at home to increase safety, such as grab bars. Physical therapist. The physical therapist's focus is on evaluating physical function, applying therapeutic treatments to reduce pain and improve or restore physical functioning. They provide one-on-one training with walking, transferring, and other exercises. The physical therapist will work with other team members to create a realistic plan with you that emphasizes activities to improve your strength, endurance, range of motion, gait, balance, and senses. Speech therapist. Speech therapists will focus on evaluating your communication abilities and swallowing functions. They will work with you to restore your verbal and written communication and difficulties with memory and problem solving. If you have swallowing difficulties, they help you with exercises to restore your swallowing abilities to keep you safe during meals. Case manager or social worker can help you arrange community services, family finances, work and discharge plans. Palliative care. Palliative care is a specialized form of medicine that aims to enhance the quality of life of patients and their families who are faced with serious illness. These providers focus on increasing comfort through prevention and treatment of distressing symptoms. In addition to expert symptom management, palliative care focuses on clear communication, advanced planning, and coordination of care. Page 27. How your brain recovers from a stroke. Recovery after a stroke is possible because the human brain is capable of reorganizing and retraining itself through neuroplasticity. When you perform repetitive physical tasks, you tap into this ability by retraining unaffected parts of your brain to perform functions that your damaged brain cells once performed. In simple terms, neuroplasticity is the process of rewiring the brain to perform tasks through different neural pathways. Some spontaneous recovery does occur after a stroke. Spontaneous motor recovery occurs during the first 6 months of recovery. Afterwards, rehabilitation is necessary to make further progress, especially if you need to learn new skills and coping mechanisms. To overcome the leading cause of disability, a consistent exercise program is critical. By using the power of neuroplasticity, stroke survivors can regain mobility and function. Rehabilitation and recovery. The goal of your care during your hospital stay after your stroke is to move you towards self-care and begin your rehabilitation process. Your care team will work with you and your family to help you understand the steps of recovery, your medications, safety measures, and help you set goals for your discharge from the hospital. Your recovery starts as soon as you are stabilized. Rehab is the process and approach that helps you to recover as many abilities as possible. Recovery can be a long-term process and varies from one person to another. How long will it take? There is no schedule for stroke recovery. Your stroke is unique to you and your recovery will move at your own pace, based on your own situation. Your stroke recovery will depend on the extent of damage to your brain tissue and the location of the damage in the brain. Many of the brain's functions seem to be localized in specific regions. Therefore, the injury will affect the body functions governed by a particular region. Your health status before the stroke may also impact your stroke recovery. Rehabilitation will help to regain function in your physical body and your mental functions. Neurological recovery. This term is used to describe the healing of brain tissue. Time is necessary for swelling, edema, in the brain to diminish. Just as your thumb swells after it is struck by a hammer, the brain will swell as a result of a stroke. This causes pressure in your brain, and the living nerves do not work well with this pressure. It can take days to weeks for nerve function to be restored to optimal levels. This will play a role in your progressive improvement as you work through rehabilitation. Page 28. Rehabilitation services after stroke. After hospitalization for stroke, many patients still have problems with physical, speech, and mental functions. Rehabilitation for these problems can be provided in a variety of settings. Rehabilitation programs are critical in helping patients regain lost skills, relearn tasks, and work to be independent again. In many cases, there is a great potential for the brain to recover. With diligent rehabilitation, these prospects can get even better. Some factors that play a role in successive stroke rehabilitation: the extent of the brain injury. The stroke survivor's attitude, a positive attitude, can help you cope and focus on getting better. Family support. Immediate rehabilitation. What are the choices for stroke rehabilitation? Acute rehabilitation, 3 or more hours of therapy are provided 5 days a week and sometimes over the weekend. Patients at this level of care must demonstrate the ability to tolerate and benefit from intensive exercise and training. Subacute or skilled nursing rehabilitation, in this type of rehabilitation, 1 or 2 hours of rehabilitation treatment are provided 5 days a week. Patients in this setting are often recovering from difficult medical problem and can tolerate a moderate pace of exercise. Outpatient rehabilitation, this means that the patient lives at home and travels 2 to 3 times a week to a rehabilitation facility for a few hours of treatment. Usually, family members drive patients to their treatments. Rehabilitation in the home, this kind of rehabilitation is usually for homebound patients with very mild problems and extensive family support. Members of the therapy team come to the home of the patient. Long-term acute care, LTAC, hospital rehabilitation, these rehabilitation services are provided in special hospital units that are designed to care for patients with major medical problems requiring intense treatment, patients that require ventilators for breathing, dialysis, drugs that support heart function. Nursing home restorative care, this kind of care is the least intensive. Patients participate in an exercise program a few hours a week and usually in a group setting. Page 29. Section 4. Discharge planning. Life after stroke. Tips for caregivers. There is an image of a doctor seated and speaking with 2 elderly patients. Page 30. Life after stroke. Regaining your independence will be the focus of your rehabilitation and will be the long-term goal of your life after stroke. Developing a healthy lifestyle with diet, exercise, a medication regimen, and regular doctor visits can help reduce your chance of having another stroke. 1 in 4 people who have had a stroke will have another one. Maintaining your lifestyle changes will reduce this risk. Home safety is an important part of your return home. Many common activities prior to stroke can be problematic after stroke. Your balance and eyesight may be affected. Look for possible hazards in your home, loose area rugs, and other trip hazards. Driving skills may have been lost or impaired, and you may have to arrange alternative transportation services. Handrails, seat extensions, shower seats, and other devices may be needed for your safety. Returning to work. Your doctor will tell you how soon you can return to work. Your return will be based on the type of work you do, your overall health, symptoms, and your rate of recovery. If you have a job that requires a lot of physical work, you may need to change some of your job-related activities. This may involve job retraining or taking disability. Talk to your doctor about the type of job you have. Your doctor can help you decide if your job will affect your condition and if you need to make changes. Plan periods of rest. Be sure to get plenty of rest. You may need to plan at least 1 rest period every day. Make sure you rest during any non-work activities. Conserve your energy. Using less energy with daily tasks can help you have more energy to do more activities during the day. You may need to cut down on some of your activities or use energy-saving devices or techniques. Energy-conserving tips. Simplify your tasks and set realistic goals. Remember, you do not have to do things the same way you've always done them. Plan your activities ahead of time. Do not schedule too many things to do in one day. Do the things that take more energy when you are feeling your best. If necessary, rest before and after activities. Do not plan activities right after a meal. Get a good night's sleep. Be careful not to nap too much during the day or you might not be able to sleep at night. Ask for help. If needed, use devices and tools to assist you such as a walker, shower chair, handheld shower head, bedside commodes, or long-handled tools for dressing. Wear clothes with zippers and buttons in the front so you don't have to reach behind. Do all of your grooming, shaving, drying your hair, etc., while sitting. Page 31. Tips for caregivers. Some tips to help family and friends cope with a loved one's stroke. Ask the doctor questions if you accompany your loved one to appointments. Be prepared for changes in your loved one's behavior and mood. Medications, discomforts, and stress can cause your loved one to become depressed or angry. Encourage your loved one to be active and as independent as much as possible. Be realistic about your own needs. Be sure you are sleeping enough, eating properly, and taking some time off for yourself. Don't hesitate to ask other family members or friends for help. Keep a positive attitude. Accept that there are events you cannot control. Learn how to manage stress. There is an image of two pairs of hands gently holding each other, suggesting comfort and support between a caregiver and a loved one. Page 32. Section 5. Other stroke resources. American Stroke Association. www.stroke.org. 1-888-4-STROKE or 1-888-478-7653. American Diabetic Association. www.diabetes.org. 1-800-DIABETES or 800-342-2383. National Aphasia Association. www.aphasia.org. 252-254-4449. National Council on Disability. www.ncd.gov. 202-272-2004. National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke. www.nines.nih.gov. 800-352-9424. Page 33. Notes. There are blank lines. At the end of the page, it reads, "Thank you for allowing us to care for you." Page 34. Notes. There are blank lines. At the end of the page, it reads, "Thank you for allowing us to care for you." Page 35. Notes. There are blank lines. At the end of the page, it reads, "Thank you for allowing us to care for you." Page 36. At the end of the page, the Centralis Health logo can be found. Below, the Arnott Health logo appears on the left and the Cayuga Health logo appears on the right. Revised June 2026.